I'm Stephen Myrick, Talus on the Boards, and today we've got a very special interview for you. Joining me today for that interview is my fellow editor,
Derek Heemsbergen. I'm Embryon on the Boards.
And so today we're really happy to get a chance to sit down and chat with Casey Ormond.
Hello there.
Now, for those of you who don't know, Casey is the arranger and the performer of both the Valkyria Chronicles piano pieces and the more recent Final Piano Collection's Final Fantasy XII album, music originally composed by Hitoshi Sakimoto. So, question I always like to start with when we interview musicians is, just what's your background a little bit? You know, how did you get into music itself? How did you get involved with, handling, game arrangements, that sort of thing?
Well, I started out more of a contemporary kind of player. Like, I got really into Ben Folds 5 and pop piano and that sort of stuff. And just for fun, just playing with friends. In high school, I had a really good teacher who sort of introduced me to jazz players and everything. And then that's when I started, got the sort of the urge to listen to lots of different things. And I was a big fan of the FF games. And so when I discovered that there were piano collections of all the FF games, that kind of changed my entire world, because suddenly I can play music from my favorite games and all the arrangements are amazing. And so that's when the music of Masashi Hamauzu, Shiro Hamaguchi, their arrangements became kind of the main influence on my own style. And then, so all throughout high school, I was learning their songs. I was playing that stuff.
That
was like my main deal. And then I went to study jazz at the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, which is one of the main music schools in Australia. And yeah, then I learned more about jazz. I was still very much into the video game stuff, so there was a couple of assignments. Like, we had to do a big band chart, and I did an arrangement of Traveling Agency from FF10.
Oh, interesting.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a big jazz band thing, which was fun, and it kind of confused a lot of people, but it satisfied me. I was like, yeah, this is awesome. After uni, it was kind of, I was thinking maybe, it'd be cool to write for games. I was still just writing piano stuff. I just kept writing piano arrangements as a hobby and started, putting things online and trying to get people into my music that way.
Well, I'm glad
so
you
yeah,
did.
It's, yes, me too. it's been kind of lucky for me that I got into this when social networking got to where it was, because that's how I got to meet Sakimoto. I didn't realize how easy it was to connect with your idols when you can just literally talk to them directly on Twitter, and then something can actually happen that way.
That really is neat. Yeah, that's actually that was the next question we were going to ask you. If you wouldn't mind telling us the story of how you actually got hooked up with Sakimoto-san to make this album.
Yeah, that was, I'd started, like I said before, I'd been putting stuff online. I had in, I think, 2009, I started writing the Sky City of Bezerba arrangement. It's the same arrangement that's actually on the album now, the official album. I prettied it up a bit. I changed a couple of things for the official album. But yeah, I was just writing that as a hobby, because I'd just finished FF12, and as yet there was no piano collections coming out, and I was like, oh, why isn't there a piano collection for this? There's so much great music. Oh, I guess I'll just do it. And so I decided to do like an unofficial thing. I had all these different songs planned. I finished Bezerba and Erit Village, and just as a fan tribute. And I'd done some other Sakimoto songs as well. And I was just, showing people online what I'd done. And Don Katowski from SEMO found the link to Sky City of Bezerba. And then just overnight, he had sent it off to Saki's Twitter. And then the next morning, I had a DM from Sakimoto saying, oh, this is great, we should keep in touch. And, mind blown.
That's got to be like, oh, okay, yeah, no problem, we'll keep in touch. Idol.
Yeah, yeah. I was just like kind of dancing around my room going, oh, my God, oh, my God. Unbelievable, because it was just a fan project. I had, no expectations of it. It was just something to do as a hobby, and then suddenly this idol of mine is like, yeah, that's actually really good. And at that point, still, it wasn't. I didn't think that I'd be doing anything official with him. It was just like a cool geeking out moment. But regardless, I kept after that. I got more into Sakamoto, and I started looking at different soundtracks, Valkyria, and everything. And every time I would make a new chart of his music, I'd send it to him to his address at Basescape and see what he thought. And that again, it was just, you know, so I could get some nice feedback. But it was also every time he'd say, oh, that's really great. And then eventually he was actually coming to Sydney in 2010 to do a recording for a soundtrack. And so he said, oh, well, I'll be in Australia. Why don't you come along and we can meet up?
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was great. It was really lucky because he I think this was, no, it wasn't when he was working with Eminence. But yeah, he often works with orchestras in Australia. So it was lucky that we could meet up like that. Yeah, so I went over there and got to meet him and some of the Basescape team. And we had, you know, dinner and talked about stuff. And then we that was when we first discussed, you know, an official collaboration. I had, by this time, I was buzzing with ideas. I was like, oh, we could do, like, you know, like a collection of songs from different Ivalice games. We could do Valkyria Chronicles. We could do FF12. But, of course, I was still a pretty much completely untested arranger and performer, so I couldn't jump straight into the FF12 soundtrack because, you know, no one knew who I was. You know, Sakamoto was a fan, but, you know, Square Enix needs, you know, a lot more.
I was going to say, I think an endorsement from Sakamoto is a pretty big deal. But
It is, yeah, but I also had to, I had to prove it. I had to do something that, and now that I think about it, doing the, I'm talking about the Valkyria Chronicles CD, which we decided on during that meeting. That was, it was something that I guess Sega was less guarded about the Valkyria franchise. They're more open to letting a newcomer sort of work with it. And so, yeah, I did that album. And that was my first time, like, writing an official thing and in a very short amount of time. Like, at first it was like I got the information of what I should do. And it was like, we need 10 to 12 songs and you have a month.
Wow. That is a short time frame.
You're like, okay, no problem.
Yeah, yep. No problem. All-nighters, coffee.
Yep. Just throw that together. No worries. And I had a bit of a head start, actually. I had already worked on the Valkyria Chronicles 2 theme as a fan project. And so I had a bit of a head start. But apart from that, it was just I had to dive in, pick songs, and write them and record them. For that one, I recorded them here. And Saki was still in Japan, and we just kind of emailed back and forth and worked on it that way. And so, yeah, that was sort of the start of my sort of official portfolio, and then they were able to use that to negotiate later on earlier this year with Square and say, you know, this guy's got some skills.
He's got some chops.
Yeah, and yeah, that went a long way to helping me get onto a much bigger project like FF12.
Still, I mean, that's exciting. Sakamoto in general, I mean, Valkyria Chronicles is pretty well beloved, and I thought. A, I thought the soundtrack to that game was fantastic, and B, I thought the piano album was excellent too. And this was before,
thank you.
You know, I only recently started talking to Don, and he introduced me to zillions of musicians and that sort of thing. And I had said we were talking about piano albums, and I said, you know, oh yeah, I like the Valkyria Chronicles album. And he goes, oh yeah, Casey Orman did that. He's super cool. And I mean, that wasn't the exact conversation, but this is paraphrase.
It was word for word.
Yeah, we're very cool. Technical. And so, you know, have you heard that album, Derek? The Valkyria Chronicles piano pieces?
I feel so shameful admitting it here, but no, I haven't actually. I actually haven't even listened to most of the original soundtrack for Valkyria Chronicles. Like, I own the game, and I've only gotten a couple hours into it, and I don't know why I'm kind of holding out. Like, I wanted to experience it in the game first before I listen to anything else.
Sure,
I have no excuse. It's awful.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely finish Valkyria Chronicles. That's an awesome game.
Yes.
And then listen to the piano collections. Get the whole experience.
The complete piano experience.
Will, for sure. Well, based on your FF12 album, I don't think there's any question. I'm gonna like the Valkyria one.
I listened to it again now because I think doing FF12. developed my style even more, and you know, I got better doing that album. And then I went back to Valkyria thinking, oh, this will sound sort of simple. And yeah, I went back to it and thought, oh, yeah, it's still pretty good. You know, I was, yeah, it's funny how you, yeah, you sort of are very critical of things that you do. Even just a year ago, I thought, you know, when I finished Valkyria, I was like, oh, that was okay. But, you know, there's no way I could do FF12. And then, you know, it came up anyway.
Yeah, I think that's the nature of any kind of like, you know, writing music, you know, writing words. I think we all tend to criticize ourselves too much. And I, you know, I think that your work is pretty amazing. So I know that you're, you know, people are always their own worst critics, but you definitely don't need to worry about the quality of your work for sure.
See, Casey, we ask you questions and we give you praise. We're the best interviewers ever.
You're such
it's
a cool
great.
Guy.
You Loving have a this.
Beard.
That I do find that interesting though, because I mean, like Derek was saying, I'll go back and read something I wrote, you know, for RPG Fan. I was saying the other day, I read my first review of Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep, and I was like, wow, they hired me, man. But you know, I think it's a growing process, and I do think, in my opinion, I think your arrangements are a little more, I would say, like mature. I don't have very good musical terminology, but. You know, I definitely got a sense of evolution from the Valkyria Chronicles album to
FF12. Yeah, it's a time thing too. It's because I had a month for Valkyria, but I had nearly half a year to work on the FF12 arrangements. And yeah, I was able to, yeah, like you say, a bit more mature. I could sort of dig into those songs a bit more and then just have a bit more time to really feel out the melodies and to really get inside those songs. Whereas Valkyria was just kind of a mad rush, and that sort of rush to finish everything was also a really good creative fuel, but it created a different kind of arrangements where it's just like excitement of never having done something like that, and that actually was a good boost. But then having the time to spread out, you know, the songs and really get into them, that was also a good way to work as well.
Yeah, like the state of mind you're in when you're I say writing, but when you're arranging, writing definitely has an impact on the work you produce. So mm-hmm. I know a lot of piano albums I hear, you know, I mean, I guess it varies. I don't want to make a blanket statement, but, you know, a lot of times when you hear a piano album, you either get a very conservative arrangement or you get a very liberal arrangement. And I think yours are very, at least in my opinion, and I don't know how you feel about this, Derek, but they're a little bit more interpretive because, you know, Sakimoto's melodies just tend to be real. I think they're very complex, and he has like a really distinct sound compared to someone like, you know, Uematsu or something like, you know.
Yeah,
it's very like, you know, the grand march of battle, these sweeping sort of, you know, distro pieces.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have a hard time kind of like, what's the experience like when you're working with music of, I would say, that complexity to say, all right, I need to arrange this for piano?
Like you say, like you can recognize a Sakimoto song pretty much straight away. It's just really distinct style. That quality of, and I think Uematsu has it as well. Like, you listen to a song by Uematsu, and you can tell it's him pretty much straight away, even if you've never heard it before.
Definitely.
And I think like that's the quality that makes a composer the quality that an arranger wants in a composer, that they have something unique, and then that's what you're chasing when you're arranging. You're trying to capture their sound, but also bring your own sound into it. And you're right, like a lot of my songs are more interpretive and change things up. It's kind of a conscious thing. Like the tradition with the Piano Collection series is to have so many different piano styles, even within one album. It kind of reflects, you know, the writing style and just the tradition in the games themselves is like in FF games, you have a lot of different, like there would be like hard rock, you know, boss numbers, and then there'll be like a, you know, Latin song, like, and then there'll be, yeah, there's just so many different styles, and the piano collections are always up to matching that. They, you know, you'll have, can have Latin piano songs, you can have really dramatic songs, you can have nice little ballads.
Yeah, like if you listen to like the Final Fantasy X-2 piano collection, I had only heard that recently, and that one's got you can really tell there's a lot of, you know, variety to it in terms of.
Yeah, it's great. Style. It's really improvisatory and everything. Yeah, it's a fantastic one. And with Sakamoto songs, there is a lot of range, but there's not quite as much stylistic range as a Uematsu soundtrack. Like, he has his own range of moods and things that he uses. He has, like, these really nice, upbeat, bouncy songs, like, what's one from Valkyria, you know, the Summer in Landseal.
Yeah.
And so that arrangement is nice and bouncy. And but then he's got, you know, the really dark songs and obviously lots of battle songs and marches, like you said. So even though he has his own stylistic range, which is different from Uematsu-san's, I was still like, well, I think there's still things you can do within that. Like, I can still choose to maybe do one song as a pop piano ballad, one song as like a tango, just as kind of as a challenge to my own writing, because I'm kind of a believer that when you're a writer and a performer, you should kind of be writing songs that are a little bit ahead of your actual skill.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's something
that happens anyway. Yeah, just so you are always challenging yourself. It's also easier to write harder things, and then when you actually get around to having to perform them, and you realize what you've done to yourself, and it's like, there was a lot of practice for this album.
Yeah.
That's what I've written for myself.
That makes me think of, so I don't know if you're allowed to talk about this or not, but the you actually performed the album. What was that like? Like, did you, you know, did they put you in like a booth and say, all right, go, don't make a mistake? Or, you know, was it, you know?
No. Yeah, we got a studio here in Perth, Crank Recording, which is one of the best studios in Australia. And we got a Yamaha Grand and... yeah, just a nice big studio. We just do a couple of different takes, and then we can, if there's any problems with the takes, then we can, edit them, we can fix them up. But for the most part, yeah, it's just live performance recorded, editing out little, pedal sounds and small things like that. There was a pretty intense session. You know, there's a lot of songs to get through. And most of the songs, that was actually another difference between Valkyrie and FF12, is when I actually finished writing all the songs and then I looked at them, and it was like an hour of music, and Valkyrie is only 40 minutes, and each song was, I think, on average, like 5 minutes. A lot of music to record. The studio experience was... Pardon? Sorry?
I was going to say, I'm sure it must have been that it was intense. I mean, just considering the sort of scope of each song and how complex they are, I imagine that it must have been a pretty tiring experience, but definitely it paid off.
It did, yeah. Actually, the last day of recording was actually on my birthday. And that was the busiest day, but then after that, we all went out, me, Saki, and some of the people, and yeah, that was a really nice birthday.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah, that literally sounds fantastic.
Literally living the dream.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great. The exterior experience is fun. It was, Saki's really patient, and then we just go through bits of the song. He actually had very little feedback with the arrangements. He was just quite happy with what I did with it, even with the more interpretive ones, like changing To Walk Amongst Gods to a jazz thing. You know, he's really into, I think he's just really interested in hearing his own music in all these different ways, which is good for me because I do like to change it up as much as I can. Speaking of like the writing style, I tend to like some of the songs I feel don't have to change too much. Like the Arcadian Empire is kind of sort of like a transcription in the form, like it follows the form pretty much exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas some of the ones like Erud Village, I know some people have listened to Erud Village and are kind of like, what's he done? He's changed it so much from the original. Some of the ones are kind of, they're like alternate themes to the original themes. Like, it's kind of like, embarrassingly, it's almost like fan fiction. Erud Village, it was a version of the theme that was like, what if it was sort of Fran's version of that theme? Like the character Fran, she's...
Oh, I like that.
From the village, and she was cast out. She can't hear the voice of the wood anymore. And so it's kind of a more darker, contemplative version of the song. And obviously, I can't, say... when it was still a fan project, I was planning to give the titles of each song like different things, like, Fran's version of the theme. Damask Estesan was another one. That was originally, the whole song was going to be like in the intro, sort of like a lullaby style.
Mm-hmm.
and I was going to call that one Dalmascan Lullaby. You know, it's my fandom really, you know, geekiness kind of comes out with the, some of the concepts for these songs, or I was like, you know,
I like love that a lot, Ivalice. Though.
Yeah, I love Ivalice so much. I was like, I wanted to kind of write my own stories within that world with different versions of the songs.
Oh, I like you.
Yeah, that's pretty fantastic.
I'm pretty sure Derek will agree, but Ivalice, my favorite Final Fantasy is Tactics, other than 9. But the Ivalice, just that whole world is just so detailed. And just to hear you say that, you know, A, you're a fan of it, and that was kind of the angle you approached writing the music for it, I just think is, I mean, I think that's what anyone listening would want to hear. I mean, it's coming from a place of love, you know?
Yeah, I've got a lot more experience as a fan than a musician with the Final Fantasy series, really. And Ivalice is like, it feels like just the whole combination of like Sakamoto's music and the writing and Akihiko Yoshida's designs and the art style. It feels so tangible. It feels like a world that's kind of always been there, and then the games are like a window to it.
Yoshida's probably my favorite artist, so I completely agree fantastic. And understand that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, to ask you another question to sort of segue, so Steven and I agree, I think both of our favorite track on the album is Mizu no Hotori, the Near the Water. And do you have a favorite on the album? I know that's hard to ask.
Pick one of your children. Tell us which one is your favorite.
Yeah.
One of the 13 children.
Yeah.
Order. What are the best? Near the Water is actually one of my favorites too. I in the review that Don did, he mentioned how similar it was to Besaid Island from the FF10 piano collections, and which was spot on, because that's pretty much exactly what I was trying to get the style of. Yeah, that I love that Masashi Hamuzu's when he gets like a really light melody and he can just make the piano sound so beautiful and bubbly and everything. And I wanted to get that really nice light style. I think it's the most Hamuzu type song that I've done.
I think I'd agree with that too. Yeah. I mean, you know, based on the two albums I've heard and, you know, other projects you've done, but.
Mm-hmm. My favorite one, A Moment's Rest as well. I was really happy with how that came out. Yeah,
we don't want to put you on the spot. It's just interesting to hear from the perspective of the person who wrote it.
Yeah, another one that was I was happy with, Ash's theme was one of the ones, most of the songs I chose and then asked if they were good for the track list. Ash's theme is actually one that Saki recommended for me to do.
Oh, really?
And at first I was like, I wasn't sure what to do with it, because the original is, it has that sort of dark bit in the middle, you know, it's like this sort of strange dark melody, like kind of unconventional for a heroine's theme.
Yeah, because she has, you know, she's kind of, especially throughout the plot of 12, that's sort of, you know, what she gets into that conflict of, oh, am I going to use this, you know, the Nethesite, and the, you know, it's been a while since.
Yeah, she's got that she's driven by revenge but has to not use the power for evil. Yeah, that really great arc that she has. And in the middle of her theme is that really like almost dungeony kind of music right in the middle of it. And the original version of that arrangement had something like that. It had a soft intro and then a really jarring kind of middle bit and then the nice soft bit at the end. But then, yeah, Saki specifically said he wanted it to be more bright and sort of tender, I guess. And so, yeah, that's how that one turned out. And yeah, so that was that one actually felt more like the Valkyrie ones, because that was one that he recommended I write nearer to the end of the project. And so I had to quickly sort of look into this song and find a direction for it.
I think there's a good contrast too in between the way that you did Ash's theme and Pinello's theme, because they're pretty opposite. And I said that in my review. I mean, just in terms of how Ash is like she's a dark, complex heroine. And not to say that Pinello doesn't have any complexity, but she's, you know, she's like the more lighthearted, sort of happy character. And I really like the way that you brought that out in both of those themes.
Yeah, it's interesting that they put them side by side. It was a good placement, I think.
I think so too, yeah.
So I'm not sure if you're allowed to say, but was there Were there any songs that you worked on that didn't make it to the album, or, you know, anything that, you know, material that was cut that, you know?
Oh, no, not whole songs, no. I mean, all the songs have about, you know, 4 or 5 extra pages of stuff that I can't use. I tend to, with an arrangement, I'll write quite a lot of stuff, and then when I'm putting it together into a song, not all of it is compatible. So there's probably like half an album's worth of cut material just from the original tracks that I chose. But yeah, there was no songs that I didn't, you know, send anything and they said, no, that's no good. Saki was pretty enthused about whatever I sent him. You know, I had quite a lot of freedom to choose styles and everything.
Well, very good. Is there this is another thing we're a little reluctant to ask, but is there any chance we might see you working with Sakimoto again, perhaps on something Ramza related?
I hope so.
Please.
I can't really confirm or deny anything. You know, it's we've only just finished this one.
Absolutely.
But of course, yeah, I'd love being to fans. And as a fan myself, I would definitely love to do Tactics. I think even a Tactics suite might work, like songs from Tactics and Advance and A2.
Oh, yes.
There's a lot of amazing songs. Actually, Tactics Advance was the first game that I sort of first started getting into Sakamoto's music.
Really?
There's something about there's so many gorgeous melodies in that. There's the sort of the lighthearted version of Sakamoto was like really affected me. And I'd love to do music from that game too. Fingers crossed.
Yes, I'll cross mine too. That's interesting too, though, because I agree. I wasn't the biggest fan of the game Tactics Advance, mostly because I was one of those people complaining. I was like, "It's not Final Fantasy Tactics." Kind of in hindsight, I appreciate that game more, and I agree that it was really interesting to hear the music. It's undoubtedly Sakimoto, but you get this. It's lighter, exactly like you said. It's in keeping with the tone of the game, and I thought it was a really nice change from Sakimoto because, you know, his music tends to have a lot of weight to it. And
but yeah, he can still surprise you with, like, he can make really playful, delightful melodies too.
Absolutely.
As well as these big, you know, dark battle themes. It's a lot of range.
Definitely. So I guess maybe we're delving into stuff we can't talk about too, but like if you were to work on, say, like, you know, like Final Fantasy Tactics, like, are there any songs that you really like that you, you know, would say like, oh, it'd be so cool to arrange this. Like, I've always dreamed of arranging Trisection or, you know, Antipyretic or something.
Yeah. Oh, Trisection. I'm trying to think of the titles. The Battle on the Bridge.
That's a great one.
That's great one.
You have good taste.
Avelia's Worries, that theme, that's there's a lot of good recurring themes in the soundtrack.
Absolutely.
I have actually done an arrangement of Avelia's Worries, but it's no longer available because of the whole work with Sakimoto.
Yeah.
But that's in the vault, so maybe it'll be come out again.
Maybe so.
Tactics and in Tactics Advance, there's just a lot of really good battle themes. The Friends Who Surpassed, something like that. I can't remember the titles, but yeah, there's plenty. I could probably make a list if I had time.
Well, that's interesting. I think with Tactics was my first exposure to Sakimoto, and I mean, I remember I was considerably younger. I had just finished Final Fantasy VII. I didn't know what it was. I just saw, oh, Final Fantasy. I really like that other game with that cloud guy. I'm going to get this. Yep. And just musically, Final Fantasy Tactics is such a departure from Final Fantasy VII. I mean, they're both, I like both soundtracks, but I mean, that first battle when Trisection starts and everybody starts marching in place, I mean.
Yeah, in the rain and the.
I mean, I hear that in my dreams sometimes. I see that moment. I'm like, that is like one of the seminal moments I've had growing up playing games, you know? So
Yeah. That's cool.
If you ever get a chance to do that, wink, wink.
Yep.
So another question I ask every musician we work with, what's your favorite music? You know, like your favorite, like, you know, game soundtrack, you know, maybe non-Sakimoto to, you know, freshen it up, you know, non-video game music, that sort of stuff. I mean, you said you like jazz.
I got into a lot of like bebop stuff, Thelonious Monk especially. or Brad Meldow as well. He's a modern player and yeah, really interesting harmonic stuff. I've mentioned Ben Folds earlier. He was like the main influence for me before like the FF stuff. Like I literally learned every song that Ben Folds 5 made. And then for game soundtracks, yeah, it has been the FF series, Sakamoto games and everything. And you know the classics, yeah, Chrono Trigger, all of the mm-hmm. all of the really good ones. That's actually another album that I'm surprised there hasn't been a piano collections of.
Yeah, that
series.
We were going to ask you that actually. Just sort of to segue out of that, are there any non-Final Fantasy soundtracks that you'd like to work with, or any game in the world even?
Yes,
like Dream Project.
Yeah, I guess Chrono Trigger. If I can just go mental and just say any game, Chrono Trigger, the Persona 3 and 4 soundtracks.
Oh yes,
fantastic stuff in there. Like, I'm looking at one of the characters right now on your Skype avatar.
Yes, Derek is our
fan.
Derek is our notorious Persona lover.
Yeah, I'm the guy. Uh-huh, yep. The Persona guy.
I'm actually playing. I'm playing Golden right now.
It's excellent.
And it's a lot of fun. Persona, Chrono, Persona. Oh, Secret of Mana.
Oh yes.
Yeah, Secret of Mana 2 and 3. Lots of cool stuff in there too. Hiroki Kikuta's music is really well suited for piano.
I would agree. It's really like, again, I've said this about every composer so far, but it's very distinct. I mean, you know, when you're listening to Kikuta, like, I mean, even growing up, like, I would say, I was like, this isn't the guy that did Final Fantasy, you know, before I knew, you know, who was who and all that sort of thing. This is just so different. And his music is really rich.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Really dense. Really. There's a lot of meat there. It'd be really fun to arrange songs from that.
All right. Well, I mean, that's sort of all the questions we really had. You know, it was a pleasure to talk to you. Thanks so much for making time for us. We know.
Thank you.
It was
really
crazy because Derek is on the West Coast. I'm on the middle of the U.S. You're in Australia, so
it's lucky we found a time that worked.
Yeah, I appreciate your working with us. I really wanted to make sure we get this in because I was a huge fan of the Piano Collection album, and I would love to see you working with, you know, other albums in the future. Because, I mean, I think Pat Gann reviewed on RPG Fan, he reviewed the Valkyria Chronicles album, and he pointed out this is it's sort of unprecedented to have a non-Japanese working on the arrangements, you know? Like, and I really like that because I reviewed Jim Guthrie's Scythian Steps album, which was the Sword and Sorcery EP arrangement for Japan, where they got a bunch of really famous Japanese composers to rearrange, you know, a Westerner's music. And, you know, it was such a great fusion of different styles that I was really excited when, you know, I found out that you'd be able to do the Piano Collections for 12. So it's sort of unprecedented. So, I mean, you're a big deal, man.
Yeah, it's great. I hope it's a trend that continues. I actually have a friend who, funnily enough, also from Perth, also has worked with a big name, Kevin Penkin. Do you know he's worked with Uematsu.
Really?
On a soundtrack for an Otome title on PSP. It's a Japanese name. I can't remember right now. But yeah, he also
I think I know what you're talking about. I forget the name of it too.
It's
Jiuzengi something.
Yeah, we actually. Yes. Yeah, I actually just had somebody review that soundtrack. I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Yeah, he came along one of the days of the recording and sat in, and yeah, we're good mates, and he's worked with Uematsu. He's written soundtracks with Uematsu. Uematsu's written the main theme, and then he's done the rest of the soundtrack, and he's really going places. He's great.
That's, again, like you said, it's a trend I hope to see continue, because I think we can only get good things out of it, because you get such a fresh perspective. Because, I mean, Square's music is so prolific and it gets rearranged so much. I mean, they released, you know, I think it was something like 9 albums this year of arranged
music. Yeah, it was
music.
A huge year for them with music, yeah.
Yeah, and it's mostly good because I think that's in part because they're getting these fresh faces to come in and interpret it. I mean, and in a lot of cases, like with the Final Fantasy Tribute album that just came out, you have people that grew up listening to this music arranging it, so you have this really different perspective.
Yeah, I think that I think you kind of nailed it there. With there's now this whole generation that's suddenly like the fans, like their work is just exploding. You got, you know, all this interesting artwork and people making their own music, and there's such a huge, there's so much talent like online with people just doing this stuff for free, just for fun, just out of the love of doing it. And it's great that a company as big as Square is actually, you know, reaching out and looking at things. And yeah, and I mean, Basescape was that sort of company too. They recognized that sort of thing, and they're lucky enough to get me on board. So yeah, I hope it's something that continues.
We all benefit from that, I think.
We do.
Well, again, for Derek and myself, thank you so much for your time. It was fantastic speaking to you. Great work on the album. I mean, I'm like I said, I'm going on a long road trip. It's on my iPod for heavy listening.
Great.
So.
And for those of us that haven't heard the album, where can we get that, Casey?
The easiest way to get it is on iTunes. You can import it as well. I think PlayAsia and a couple of different sites to get the, you know, the booklet, CD, and everything. There's also the sheet music book is coming out on Amazon on the 23rd of December.
Ooh, how
if
cool!
If you want to learn them, and if you want to complain about how hard they are to me, you can follow me on at Casey Ormond on Twitter.
Wonderful.
And on there, I just talk about stuff that's coming out with the album and. Also, once I find out the best way to get the book, because I know it's on Amazon Japan right now, and then I'll just give people an update once I know where else you can get it.
Fantastic.
And all that sort of stuff.
That is really neat. And if you guys haven't seen it already, I did review Casey's album. It was amazing. If you haven't gathered that already from this interview, and you can find that on RPG Fan as well.
Excellent. All right. Cool. Thanks very much.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks so much for your time, Casey. It was really a pleasure.
Cheers. It was great. Thanks.